Read the scriptures together. And our text this morning will come from Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians 5, and we'll read verses 22 and 23. And just as we sang, may the Lord surround, shield, and defend you. And may even the reading of His Word, may His Word act as a defense, as a refuge for you. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So this morning we're coming to the last of the fruits on the vine, looking at the ninth of the fruit of the Spirit. And we're looking at self-control. The Apostle Paul has been preaching to the Galatians, and he has preached to them of the beauties and the glories and the sufficiency of the gospel. That you, as a human sinner, you are justified. You are forgiven and accepted. Not for your sake. No, you are justified solely due to the work, the obedience, and the shed blood of Jesus, the Son of God. And you are justified by faith alone, apart from any merits, any works of the law, justified, declared righteous, not just declared forgiven, not just declared not guilty. You are declared positively, legally just and righteous, justified not by works of the law, but solely through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That's the message of Galatians. And that message, as it is believed and embraced, that Jesus, as you cling and as you trust in that Jesus, His Word and His Spirit, they cut, they engrave a particular character on your soul. Okay, so if you and I were to pull out a coin, kids, if you have a coin in your pocket, if you were to pull out one of those coins and you were to look at it, what would it have? Is it just a smooth finish, just plain? No, it's got something on it, right? It's got the head of a president, or it has a wreath, or it has the White House. It has a picture on it. Something has been engraved on that coin. And it's been that way for so long in history. In fact, Jesus said the same thing. When Jesus was asked a question, He says, pull out a coin. Whose inscription is on that coin? Okay, so even Roman coins had pictures. They had engravings. When a human sinner embraces and trusts in Jesus Christ alone, the Spirit of God cuts and He engraves a particular character. Okay, letters in the alphabet are characters. Did you ever think about it that way? letters are characters. They are alphabet characters. Same thing with numbers. Numbers are written or engraved characters. When the Holy Spirit makes you new, when He gives you the gift of faith and repentance, He does the work of not only forgiving your sin and declaring you righteous, He then engraves a particular character. He makes it so that you begin to reflect the image of God. You begin to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. He is the Lord of the vineyard. And as the Lord of the vineyard, He is the one who plants. He is the one who waters, who prunes, who nourishes. You are a branch on the vine. And what is the Spirit doing with you? He is causing you. He's chosen you. He has appointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that abides. Fruit that remains. Fruit that endures. And self-control runs the anchor leg. If love leads out, if love runs at the start of the gun and opens, you know, when you have the mile relay, and each person runs one lap, and they run with a baton, at the end of the lap, they pass off the baton to the next person, love leads out. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then everything flows from that. Your joy is a rightly ordered love for good things. Your peace is the result of a love that overflows for Christ. Your patience, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your goodness, it all flows out of love for Christ. Love leads out. Self-control runs the anchor leg. The anchor leg is the last runner in the relay. The anchor leg, he has to either, he or she must either run from behind and chase down the leaders, or if the relay is in first, he or she must possess the mental toughness to fend off any challengers. Self-control runs the anchor leg. It seals the victory. It seals the character. You take all these fruits, and every single one of these are present in the heart and soul of a Christian. Some to varying degrees, but each of these, they're all together. They are a cluster in the heart and soul of a Christian. And self-control binds them all together. Through self-control, your love is rightly placed. Through self-control, you discipline your thoughts and your emotions to a settled contentment and peace. Through self-control, you exercise gentleness and meekness in dealing with others. Self-control. So this word, this is about strength. It's about an inward strength. It's about an inner power, an inner strength that knows when and how to restrain. It's an inner strength that has learned how to say no. It's an inner resolve. It's an inward strength that knows how to hinder what is wrong and filthy within you. It's an inward power that knows how to guard words, thoughts, emotions, self-control. You don't have any of the other fruits without self-control. This is a characteristic which Paul lists for elders in the church. This is a prime quality that not only Christians, but even the Greeks and the Romans would value in their leaders. It's a quality that military leaders throughout the centuries have looked for. It's more than one military commander has said, I refuse to put a man in command over others who cannot command himself. So self-control, this is the anchor leg. This is what holds it together. This is what keeps you from being bent in the wrong directions. It's about knowing how to stand. It's about knowing how to be anchored, how to be planted, self-control. In order to grow in this particular fruit, you have to know where to stand. Okay? If self-control is about this inward strength, this inward restraint, knowing when to say no, knowing what to do in the particular situations and instances, well, you and I need to know where to stand. Things must be known and understood. The eye, think about it this way, the eye is the candle for the soul. The eye gives you light. It shows you where to go. And even if you lose physical sight, it is still the eye of your mind. It is your thoughts. It is your understanding that governs how you think, how you live, how you walk, how you discern, how you evaluate things. In order to grow in self-control, you have to know where to stand. You have to know what you believe. Know what your convictions are. This is about your mind. This is a battle for the mind. So much so, the Apostle Paul will say to the Romans, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Your bodies, your physical frame, your body matters. What happens with your hands, your feet, your physical flesh, the body matters. And you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. And then he goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is about the renewing of your mind. In order to know where to stand, your mind has to be shaped. Truth must be studied. Remember faithfulness as one of the fruits of the Spirit? Faithfulness in your loyalties? Know where your loyalties are. Loyalty to Christ above all else. Loyalty to Christ, to His words, to His truth, His church, His people. Loyalty to the King above all else. And you swear fealty and allegiance to this Jesus, to this King. Faithfulness. Okay, know where to stand. Stand in the shadow of Christ. Stand in the shadow of the cross. Stand next to the empty tomb. Know where to stand. This is about your mind. This is about understanding. And with your understanding, convictions must be formed. In order to know where to stand, you have to know how to read the room. You have to know how to read the field. Know the lay of the land. Okay, where do you learn these convictions? Where do you learn the lay of the room and the land? Well, you look to the law. Where do your convictions come from? Where does your depth, your core of understanding come from? Well, it comes from the law. What does the prophet Jeremiah say about this season of history? You and I, where you and I live, we now live in the days of the new covenant. And how is the new covenant described? We experience the forgiveness of sins, the assurance of pardon. Jeremiah 31, we experience the true, full knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is increasing and abounding. And as citizens of the new covenant, you know what you and I enjoy? The law is written on your heart. If you would grow in self-control, you must. It's imperative. Truth is vital for self-control because you have to know what you believe. Know where to stand. Jesus prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You can't just tell yourself to stop it. You have to know why. You have to know the grounds, the reasoning, the foundations. Know where to stand. It's not just know what you believe. You might believe things that need to be corrected. It's not just know what you believe. It's know what to believe. Know where to stand. Now, how do you know that? You don't know where to stand. You and I don't know what to believe. We don't know what standard to adopt if we just look within. So you look to the Scriptures. You look to the only unerring, unchanging standard of what is true and right. Know where to stand. The only way to answer that question is, search the Scriptures. He's spoken noble things, excellent things, food for your soul, iron for your blood. Know where to stand. But then secondly, know where to stand, but then that being known and understood, stand your ground. Know where to stand, but then stand your ground. If the one is an act of the mind, learning the truth, searching the Scriptures, studying, hearing, listening, reading, this one is an act of will. Stand your ground. You hold your ground. Well, the Apostle Paul says it to the Thessalonians, prove all things, hold fast to what is good. This is an act of the will. And so you take these truths that you have absorbed just like a sponge. You take these truths that have become part of the very bone and sinew of your thinking. You take what you know to be true and you act on it. How do you learn how to say no? You learn to say no by acting on what you believe. What have you come to know and to embrace about Christ, about God, about His Word, about yourself, about what is right, true, wrong, and false? What have you come to know? Now, brothers, sisters, if you are clinging to Christ, if you're trusting, loving Christ with all you are and all you have, act on what you know. Stand your ground. Learn how to swim against the current of self-gratification, of instant pleasure. Learn what it is to stand. The winds are strong. The winds are strong. They are cold. They are piercing. Learn how to bend without being uprooted. It's a massive tree that I've always loved looking at. It's out college. And you get to the circle, and you cross the circle out on college, and there's this massive tree at the corner. I saw yesterday it had been either blown over or pulled down. Stand your ground. You need roots. Roots of conviction. Roots that are planted deeply in the soil of the truth. And once you embrace those truths, you hold fast. You hold fast with your words. Just because it comes to your mind doesn't mean it needs to be said. Right? just because you think it, just because you want it, doesn't mean it should be gotten. Right? Just because you want something doesn't mean you should have it. Self-control is about learning the art, the vital art of saying no. Some things require an absolute, definite, permanent no, regardless. Due to our convictions growing out of the law, growing out of the fear of the Lord, out of the fear of the Lord, out of a reverence for His holiness, out of a submission to His law, what do we say? There are some things that ought never to be done. The Bible does contain do's and don'ts. Thou shalt not. Sexual relations outside of marriage is a definite, absolute no. Drunkenness is a definite, absolute no. Flying into a wrathful rage is a definite, absolute no. In many ways, we offend all. In many ways, we have offended the honor of our Christ. We are prone to wander, prone to leave the God whom we love. Yeah, this is the anchor leg. And how many times have you and I dropped the baton? You must look to Christ. If you would exercise self-control, it is imperative. It is vital. You are commanded to look to Christ. Look to His mercy. Look to His kindness. Look to His pardon. Self-control. There are certain things that just ought not to be done. There are certain things that call for moderation. There are good gifts in this life. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that food tastes the way it does? You know, that not every drink tastes like unsweet tea. Aren't you glad? Sorry. But aren't you glad that food doesn't taste like cardboard? There's a place for unsweet tea. But food, you know, he gives you gifts, and these gifts, they are rich, they are sweet, they are good, they are richly to be enjoyed. Oh, and don't you rejoice? Do those gifts not lift your soul in praise and honor and thanksgiving? You love this God, the author of every good and perfect gift. In moderation. Every good gift of His can be abused. Every single one can be overused. Every single one. You can turn that good created thing into an idol. And you'll do anything for that object, whatever it is. Moderation. Self-control. This is the art of the Christian life. There is no book of Leviticus in the New Testament to tell us exactly where to draw the line with particular good gifts. So how do you know? Well, the Spirit of God gives you wisdom. He gives you a mind. He gives you convictions. Remember, He gives you the truth. Know where to stand. And then stand your ground. And then pray for the wisdom to apply right boundaries. You need watchfulness. You need watchfulness over your habits, words that are said, watchfulness over your emotions, your thoughts, where you walk, where you step, where you go, watchfulness. You will have particular trials, particular temptations that are specific to you that others might not have. You need to know yourself and exercise yourself. a stern discipline on yourself in those areas where you know you are prone to wander. Where are you prone to wander? Pray the Lord to restrain. Pray for Him to pull the leash. Pray for Him to give you light. So, know where to stand and then stand your ground. But the last thing I want you to hear is, not only stand your ground, win the ground. Win that ground. It's not just about standing still. Self-control is not just about not doing something. It's about replacing it. Win the ground. There is a field to be taken. There is something to be done. There's something to be accomplished. So yes, you say no to specific things. And when you fall, you look to the mercy of God and Christ to pick you up and to move your feet. And you seek once more. You lift your head. Even if you have failed a zillion times before, you get up this time and you look to His mercy and you press on and you win the ground. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, he uses the image of an athlete, 1 Corinthians 9. And he uses this image to compare an athlete to the Christian. And he says to you, run to win. Don't just run not to lose. You don't want a quarterback who will only play not to lose. Run to win. Run in such a way that you win. And he says, the athlete will practice self-control in all things. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. The one who strives for mastery, the one who strives to win, exercises self-control in all things. He will exercise self-control in eating, sleeping, what he drinks, how he lives. The athlete will exercise restraint, self-control in all things. It's not just about standing still. It's about moving. Moving in a certain direction. Even if you are confined to your home and you never change addresses for the rest of your days, this is not about geographical movement. This is about spiritual movement. Move towards something. You run to win. And you beautify your place. You work to beautify, to ennoble your place. You work the ground. He is the Lord of the vineyard. And under His lordship, there is ground to be tilled and sown and worked. You run to win. You build, literally build. If there is something that must be built, you build it to the honor and the glory of God. You build it. You exercise self-control. Okay, try to swing a hammer without self-control. Kids, what's going to happen if you try to swing a hammer and you're not controlling where it goes? Go off, hit somebody over in the next yard. What happens if you try to play a game without controlling how the route is run? What happens if you run a race and the course is not marked? Okay, self-control is not just about saying no. It is about moving with skill, with poise, with grace. Building, tilling, nurturing, nourishing, speaking. Controlling your words, not only in what you don't say. Sometimes we Christians can be bad about thinking solely about what we don't do or what we're not supposed to do. And that's a good question to ask. What are some things that are out of bounds? Some things that should not be done? That's a good question to ask. But we don't think enough about the question, well, then what should be done? What should be practiced? With self-control, with grace and with the Spirit's gifts, you learn how to move and how to build and how to construct. Self-control. This is the anchor leg. You run to win. And where does the power come from to see that race to its end? Some of y'all, you recognize that? A Chariots of Fire, the 1980s film chronicling the Olympian Eric Little. The Olympian refused to compete on the Lord's Day, wound up winning the gold and setting the record in a different event that he wasn't even supposed to run. Don't know if he actually said it, but in the film, he asked that question, where does the power come from to see the race to its end? If this is about inner power and inward strength, where does that come from? Because you don't have it and neither do I. The Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians, and he prays for them according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Where does that power come from? It comes from the Spirit dwelling in your inward soul. So then the kingdom of God comes within you. The Spirit of God takes residence in your own affections, in your mind, in your will, in your conscience. By the Spirit of God, you learn where to stand. By the Spirit of God providing you out of the fullness of Christ, just as sap will provide nourishment to the branch from the vine, the Spirit of God, he shows you where to stand. He gives you that inner strength to stand your ground. And then the Spirit and the gifts are yours. And so you press on. Just as faithful in Pilgrim's Progress, he runs the anchor leg and he finishes well. And he dies the martyr's death. And so you press on in the strength of the one who shall see you to its end. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord, we confess to you the depth of our sin and rebellion and waywardness, our wandering. And gracious Lord, we ask that by your sufficient blood, sin would be forgiven. Our flagrant fouls and disobedience would be pardoned. But then, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would teach us to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, and to walk and not faint, and to press on in this earthly pilgrimage and warfare in the strength of the one who shall see us to its end. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.